Our gospel lesson this morning is taken from Matthew, chapter 4, verses 12 through 23. Would you please stand? When Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he returned to Galilee. Leaving Nazareth, he went up and lived in Capernaum, which was by the lake in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali, to fulfill what was said through the prophet Isaiah. The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, the way to the sea along the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. From that time on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will make you fishers of men." At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, God. You may be seated. Thank you. In between services this morning, we had a special advertisement for Stevens Ministries, an opportunity to share your lives with other people in need and to be a listening ear to those people. We had some sign-ups going on in between services, and Krista Ward is even back there, even as I speak, ready as soon as this service is complete to sign you up. It's an opportunity for you to be a part of an ongoing, very important ministry, a caring ministry within the church. And so I'll invite you after the service to go by and check all the ministry tables out there in the corridors and sign up where you're called, and especially stop by Stephen's Ministry and see if you might offer a helping hand and a listening ear to a very, very important ministry. This is Epiphany. This is the season of the year. We move from the visit of the Magi through the ministry of Jesus as we prepare for the crucifixion and resurrection. It's hard to believe that Christmas is just over and now we're almost into the Lenten season. But during this season of Epiphany, we have an opportunity to sort of touch base with the ministry of Jesus, beginning with his baptism and the transfiguration as Jesus goes to the mountain, and the opportunity to be with him as he calls others to ministry, as we're going to be with him today on this journey to the cross. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord God, for calling us together as the body of Christ. Make us sensitive to your holy word and to its message for our lives today. May we be sensitive to your presence among us, that all that we do will be to your glory. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. This past week, Carolyn and I had the privilege of visiting my son-in-law's parents in Aurora. We've known Larry and June Klaus for more than 20 years, about the same length of time their son David and our daughter Kimberly have known one another. And I won't go into the whole story about how we became acquainted, just to tell you that I think it's pretty cool when in-laws can have a great relationship together. You always hear these stories about how in-laws don't get along. Well, they're more like outlaws than in-laws. But in this particular case, talk about getting along, we sure did. Talk about getting along, we sure do. And we always enjoy each other's company whenever we have the time to be together. The first day we were visiting with them in Aurora, June came into the kitchen with a piece of paper in her hand, and I noticed she was reading it. I said, "What's that, June?" She said, "Well, it's a summons." Ah, poor June. It's a summons, is it? She said, yeah. She had to go to court the next day afternoon. I was feeling badly for her already. And she was concerned about the whole experience. But she set my mind at ease. She hadn't committed a crime. She hadn't even gotten a speeding ticket. I know no one in here has acquired such things. No, she didn't even secure one of those speeding tickets. It was an invitation. No, it was a demand that she show up for jury duty. And it was her first time, and I can understand her being sort of squeamish about the whole thing. Now, she wondered if she was going to really have to be in a jury, and then she told me that her number was 5 out of about 260. I used my great wisdom to assure her that she definitely would be called to jury duty. And sure enough, she was. And it was an interesting experience, needless to say. It's always interesting to read a summons. The bottom line is this, and I secured this knowledge after reading the entire thing. You don't show up, the police will. I mean, it's just sort of that simple and that basic. I read in one town, and you may have either heard it on the news or read about it, where they were running out of jurists in a particular town, and they simply went out on the street and in the grocery store, and they said, well, you and you and you, come to the courthouse. No, I'm busy right now. Oh, no, you're not. And they pulled them into the courthouse, swore them in, and they were jurists. Don't you know how happy they were? You've just gone through the store and gotten that whole cart full of groceries, and now it can sit there while you go to do your job as a jurist in the system. Wow. You know, I think about the summons situation. I reflect back on my life and the many decades I've spent in the United States Air Force, and I sort of remember my assignments being that way. There was never an invitation attached to any of this. It was always, you're going, show up. And it all began many, many years ago when I received my first assignment. Well, the first two assignments. They were perhaps the most unique of all. Because we waited with bated breath there in little old Camp Hill, Pennsylvania, to find out where Uncle Sam was going to send us in this grand expedition known as military service. I was wise at that point in time. I don't know how wise I am now. At that point in time, I was wise. I said to Carolyn, we'll try this for 3 years, and if it doesn't work, we just salute smartly, do an about-face, and get out of this thing. And so we waited to see just what was going to happen. And all of a sudden, here comes the orders. And they said, Robert Shannon Leeds, you are to report to... Well, this wasn't bad. You know, for a summons, report to Williams Air Force Base in Phoenix, Arizona, just outside of Chandler. So for a family living in Camp Hill, Pennsylvania, going to Chandler, Arizona in February and March isn't a bad idea. We rejoiced in that. Oh, we were there a couple of years, and then another summons came in. Oh, they had, those of you who have been in the military know this, they always ask you beforehand, where would you like to go? Oh, man, you put down all these wonderful places until the summons comes. Well, I was told that I was going to the rocky plains of eastern Turkey. Oh, this sounds exciting. The summons was clear. There will be 600 people there, that's all. A whole lot of Turks. And you're the only chaplain. Have fun. Ah, yes, it was quite clear. When you talk about compelling reasons to show up at a place, I don't know why you're here this morning. I mean, you could have come to the early service and had the rest of the day off. Or just taken the rest of the day off, but for some reason or another, you showed up. It may have been planned all along that this is really where you wanted to be at 11 o'clock this morning. 11 to 1 isn't bad. You caught that. I'm sorry. And, or you may have been told, We're going to church today. I said, we're going to church today. Son, get up out of the bed. We're going to church today. And you're going with us. Okay, Mom. Okay, Dad. Whatever you have to say. So you may be pleased or displeased to be here. Frankly, it doesn't matter. You're here. But you're here not because of your own volition. You are here sometimes in spite of yourselves and in spite of what you really wanted to be doing, but you showed up anyway. God put you in this faith and put you in this place. He summoned you and you came. Guess where you're going? Just say yes. Just say yes. I'm sure you remember the story of Moses. I'd like to sort of explain this whole summons concept. And I'd like to begin with Moses. He's always a good place to begin. He fled from the Pharaoh. And he had every right to. After killing a man in Egypt, he fled to Midian and found work there as a shepherd with his soon-to-be father-in-law, who was the priest of Midian, Jethro. And one day, as you well know, Moses was out in the wilderness tending the flock, as was his custom. He was a good shepherd. He was minding his own business when all of a sudden, out of nowhere, God appeared to him in flames of fire out of a burning bush. And you can imagine how scared, how terrified Moses was. You know how terrified you'd be if anything like this happened to you. And some of you may have had this happen. I don't know. Moses, I just can hear it now. Moses, well, you got my attention. Don't come close and take your shoes off in my presence. Now, frankly, I like that part of the command. Take your shoes off in my presence, Moses. This is holy ground. There isn't any other way to put it. I'm the Lord your God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now, I've heard the cries of my people and their suffering, and I know their pain, says God. And I'm here to help them, to bring them to a good land with open spaces, a land flowing with everything good like milk and honey and pizza. I just want to make sure you were with me. Now, Moses, guess where you're going? Moses had no special training at all. He didn't even have any special gifts. And even though he was scared to death of Pharaoh, he went to his assignments. The summons was placed in his hand. And he had to go. There wasn't any other way around it. Consider young Isaiah. I just love the story. We can't get into it in detail. Just read Isaiah, the 6th chapter. It was a day like all days, but he had never expected anything like this when he went into the temple. He thought it was going to be just a normal kind of temple visit. It was a day filled with visions and voices, and the whole house was filled with smoke, incense. Now, there is no doubt about it. Isaiah was not paying attention to the message of that day. It was the same old message over and over again. He had heard it before. Besides that, he had been up all night and he needed a little rest. The music wasn't that good, to be honest with you. And to put it frankly, Isaiah was just plain outright bored with the whole experience. Just plain outright bored. And then all of a sudden, he saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and it scared him to death. He didn't know which way to turn and what to do. Doom. It's doomsday. I'm as good as dead, says Isaiah, as translated in the message. Every word I've ever spoken is foul, and the people I've associated with are the same way. Here I am, a creep and a no account who has dropped out of life, and I've looked into the face of God. What's going on anyway? He asks. And then the voice again, gone is your sin. And gone is your guilt. Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Here is your summons. Okay, says Isaiah. I'll go. Send me. And God asks, hey, Isaiah, guess where you're going. You're not here today simply because you chose to be here. And you're not here today because you know somebody would make you feel guilty if you didn't come. You're here because God put you here on this hill and in this place at this time, no other place. You're here because you're supposed to be here. It's your summons. The bigger question is, where are you going from here? Guess where you're going. It's no coincidence how the Gospels depict Jesus as we meet him in today's Gospel lesson. Jesus, when you see him in his ministry, is always on the go, one place or another. There's business to do. Time is running short. There are people to reach, people to talk to. Many things to do on this journey before my time is finished. And it's very rare that you ever see Jesus stay in any one place for any great length of time, because there's work to be done. Jesus walking on the Sea of Galilee. I love that picture in my mind. It's much like walking on the beaches at Panama City Beach, Florida. I mean, it's just that serene scene that we have in our minds of walking along the beach, a familiar place to find the Master. And he saw Peter and Andrew fishing and casting nets. Hey! Hey out there! Talking to us? Yeah, I'm talking to you too. Come on in. Come on, follow me and I'll make you fish for people. A summons has been given. And Matthew reports this. I think it's worth listening to and looking at. Immediately they left their nets. No, wait a minute. It didn't say anywhere in Scripture, just a minute, I have to check with my wife. I have to see if there's anything else on the appointment calendar for today. Immediately, they left their nets and followed him. Hey, guess where you're going? On the adventure of a lifetime. You'll never be the same again, and those whom you touch will never be the same either. Oh, yes. And then there are the other brothers, James and John, the sons of Zebedee. Jesus saw them casting nets and mending nets. Come, follow me, he called out to them. Come on, follow me. The summons given. And immediately they left their father and the boat and followed him. You don't know how dramatic that is when you say they left their father behind. Why? Because now his ability to make a living was gone. The sons were gone. He depended on them. Also, his retirement was gone. The sons walked out on him. They just left. Guess where you're going? Guess where you're going? Visit a jail in Rome. I don't know how many of you have ever visited a jail. If you've never visited a jail, let me tell you, I'm looking at you, Ron. It's an awesome experience. And when the metal doors slam behind you, you may not be a prisoner, but you feel like one. The prisoner's name is Paul. He would shape history and die in the jail of a despot. See for yourself. Take a look for yourself in the jail and see what you see. Oh, not a big, brawny man, frail and weak and bent over and shackled to the arm of a guard dragging his body. No headlines would ever announce his execution. And when the executioner's axe struck his neck, the world didn't flinch. An old man with an odd faith. Who was he? Oh, you hear him talk. The worst of all sinners, he would say. He was a Christian killer before he was a Christian leader. That's the kind of man we're talking about. He never received any salary. He traveled far and wide. He paid his own expenses. He had a part-time job just to make ends meet. And before the axe was sharpened, he sharpened his pen to write a letter and another letter. Letters which would touch the lives of kings and paupers, saints and sinners for 20 centuries. He never looked like a hero, and especially in jail. But since when do heroes ever look like heroes? When do heroes ever look like heroes? What made the difference in his life? And in the lives of nearly every other disciple who followed Jesus. Disciples who, for the most part, in the end, would have to pay the ultimate price for their commitment to Jesus Christ. You see, it was a summons that they received and not an invitation. That's the thing that struck me more than anything when I read this scripture again for the first time. It was a summons and not an invitation. The story of Epiphany, the story of today's gospel, is clear. God chose you before you ever chose Him. I don't care who you are or what age you are. God chose you first before you ever chose God. That's absolutely significant. When you sing the old gospel song, make sure you understand the words because of that summons which has been given you. I have decided to follow Jesus. Oh, I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. What? No turning back. There's no turning back. You see, there's no alumni association in the Christian church. Once you're summoned, you're caught. Once you're summoned. I was summoned when I was a baby. I don't remember it all. I can tell you the story that was told to me. I just have a smattering of an experience in my deep, deep, deep infant conscience. I was told frequently as a child about my baptism at the Pine Street Presbyterian Church in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. A beautiful old church, cathedral-like in nature. My parents and the family members took me there on that particular day. I have a certificate to prove it in my lockbox. Robert S. Leeds, born June 23rd, 1963. Oh, yeah, 1941. Baptized on that particular day without ever asking my approval. And the pastor, I was there. The pastor poured water over me until I was drenched. Even today, I still get even. I remember that part. I was drenched because I cried aloud and they heard me. Ah, yes. Thank you, God, that it's all over, I said. And God whispered back to me in a faint whisper I could hardly understand. Guess where you're going? Guess where you're going? And I would have never dreamed of the future that God had in store for me. It wasn't the end. The baptism was only the beginning. Every one of you here today is here today because God puts you here. It may have started off decades ago at a baptismal font when you were a child. It may have happened in some spontaneous, remarkable event in which you can point to perfectly and say, on this day, I know God summoned me. It may be after a lifetime of quiet growth and coaxing, you came to a realization of the power and presence of God in your life. And in all of this, God summons us today not to be successful, not to be the first in your class, not to be nice, not even to be friendly. He summons us to be faithful. No turning back. No turning back. Just faithful. And the good news for today is that Jesus is going places, remarkable places, and we get to go with Him. Jesus is on the move. He's on the move. Guess where we're going next? Just guess where we're going next. Amen.